And so he tells us we need to be of the same mind, having compassion one of another in 1 Peter chapter 3. Love is brethren, be pitiful, be full of pity, be courteous. Oh my goodness. What a commandment we need for the holidays, or Black Fridays, when they're trampling each other and fighting at Kmart, for goodness sake, fighting at Walmart, fighting at Costco. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For here's my first point. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You know, one of the best things we can do is just keep our mouth shut sometimes. And that's coming from a preacher. I mean, you know, that's coming from somebody that has had this foot and this foot in this mouth at the same time. I've done it. I hate that. But my brain many times runs way past my vocabulary, and I'm thinking of something else, and I'm saying something completely different. But I'm trying to get old enough so I can have something to blame that for. But so pray that I live long enough that I have an excuse. Okay. Oh, in 2 months I'll be 62. That's for those of you that thought I was 82. Okay. He that will love life and see good days. Don't you want to love life? I mean, I want to enjoy the trip. Let's start right wherever we are today. Let's get some things fixed. Let's get on the trail. And let's, sweeter gets a journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. And I get happy in a heavenly way because sweeter gets a journey every day. I'm telling you, we've got a reason to rejoice. We need to live in such a way that we can provoke even the Jews to emulation. That we have something about our life, our homes, our spirit, the way we work, the way we carry on, that we have something that they would like to have. Well, it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. He was the happiest man that ever walked in this world. I wish we'd get over that somber, sober, head hanging down Christ that was mad at everybody. Because God, he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even our God, anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. The happiest one of all the 120 was Jesus sitting in the midst of them. The happiest one walking down the street, going from village to village and town to town. They had the Peter, and they had the John, call down fire from heaven, and all those other. I mean, we had the zealot that was he would be what we consider a modern day terrorist. But he really was a Jewish zealot. He was trying to help Israel get their freedom from Rome and trying to cause havoc like the Boston Tea Partiers did and all kinds of things like that. And then you had really government men like Matthew, Levi, tax collectors. And I'm going to tell you, that group of men had far more differences than Republicans and Democrats. And they loved each other and they got along. I mean, if we want to love life and see good days, let us refrain our tongue from evil. And evil in the Bible is just a connotation for the bad stuff. It's evil. We feel evil. We feel it like that. But everything that's bad is not at the hand of the devil. God said, I create the bad. I created the evil. He's not talking about Satan. He's talking about the bad stuff that happens. He allows it. And sometimes he encourages it. He'd do anything to keep you right with him. And if the only way you will spend all night in prayer is some bad stuff happen, guess why bad stuff happens? Because he really likes your fellowship. So we ought to just try staying up all night, walking the floor, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, thank you, Lord Jesus. No, I'm not that way. This is not the way I am. I'm trying to preach to myself, okay? But and spend all night in singing songs and praising God because of the good stuff that he's got, and he might give us some more of those. But if the only way we'll spend alone time with God is when things are hard and tragic and turmoil, that's the only way we can get on our knees and get alone in our closets. God likes us being with him. He doesn't like us having to go through that stuff. But if that's what it takes. I love my granddaughter. But when she's well and my son's well and my daughter-in-law's well and they're going here and they're going there, I never get to see them. But when there's MRIs or seizures or things like that, they call Dad. When the car breaks down, they call Dad. There's one time they need me. But that's the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Because they need me. They want me. And God feels the same way. And so I try to make it a point to go to my mom and dad's and call them. My dad's 87. My mama's 85 or 84. But the real reason I don't spend much time with my dad, he wants to work me too hard. He can outwork me, I promise you that. And he's a workaholic. Helped a man build a house last year. And I came over to help me put windows in on my front screen porch. I said, Dad, take a break. So I was somewhere in the Bible. Let him refrain his tongue. Quit talking about all the bad stuff all the time. There's a time to turn Fox News off. There's a time to turn the evening news off. There's a time to just turn off all the bad stuff. Sometimes just, we don't have to think about that stuff all the time. I mean, read your Bible and pray. Walk with the Lord. Sing psalms one to another. Oh, at home, you having trouble at home? Husband, just go grab your songbook or go get a book of poetry and just say, woman, stand still. And I'm going to read a poem to you. And you'll love it, I command it. I mean, just let him refrain his tongue from evil, from the bad. You don't have to talk about the bad stuff all the time. Some people are never happy unless they're sad. You know them. We can name them. And your lips, that they speak no guile. Oh, I deal with all the Rogerian psychiatry and all the, I mean, been around that stuff all my life, and mentalists and using all that false, phony psychobabble. And you know, you don't have to vent what you think. I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm just going to give them my 2 cents. Man, you can't afford it. You will say something you don't have. You don't, listen, you don't, a witness, if you're not called upon to witness, you don't have to give people the full deal. I mean, there's some things you can keep to yourself. Now, I don't watch television much, but when I watch it, I see a good commercial, I grab it. Abraham Lincoln and his wife buying a new dress. And she says to Abraham, hey, does this make me look fat? And of course, Abraham Lincoln couldn't tell a lie either. You know, he didn't want to lie, just like George Washington. Washington, excuse me. I got to learn how to say that for some friends. And Abraham Lincoln said, what do you say? Yes! You know, it accentuates the obvious nature of the beast. goes double for men. That's why I only wear black shirts, white shirts, solid shirts. I don't wear stripes going this way because it makes me look. And I care about how I look. I keep my prescription up all the time. And let them refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. I'm just saying we're heading into a season. The reason I'm kind of a little light, because it's going to be different when I get out there. No. I want to love life and see good days. Refrain our tongue from evil and our lips that they speak. No, we don't have to speak bitter stuff. The more you repeat something, the worse it gets. Venting only reinforces what your thoughts are already thinking. It backs them up. It gives you. It actually builds the ground upon which the next complaint will come. A little root of bitterness therewith springing up, whereby many are defiled. You just let a little bitterness come out of you. Well, I like you, but you. If you don't deal with that, it'll eat you up. And pretty soon it'll be on your countenance. And pretty soon it'll have an edge to your words. And pretty soon you'll just go ahead and say what you were thinking. Big mistake. Tell the Lord. He already knows. And you're not going to shock Him. So just go ahead and get real honest with God. He that will love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from the evil. Stop talking about the bad stuff all the time. Talk about the good stuff. I mean, I know there would be no news if it was only good news. I understand that. And I want to know if something's bad. I want to know if the robber's at the door. I mean, I want to know if the wolf's howling. I want to know some things. But I don't live there. It's kind of like those people that like the maniac of Gadara. He saw that cemetery one day. He said, "That's a strange place." So he started visiting there every week. Then he started saying, "Well, this is a quiet, serene place. Some nights it's a little different." But he said, "When the moon's out," so he set a tent up there. And he just kept hanging around the cemetery. And pretty soon, he lived there. He lived among the tombs. You keep talking about that junk, you're going to live there. And if you keep bringing all the junk into your home, no wonder we have the divorce epidemic. If you want to protect somebody, protect your wife, protect your husband, protect your children from the bad stuff. You don't have to bring that home. That's why there's certain channels you do not bring in. You don't need that. They don't need that. They've got struggles and strife and confrontation all day long, and they come home, and our home ought to be a sanctuary. It ought to be a place where we can throw our arms around each other and I can cry on my wife's shoulder. She said, "Quit blubbering." No, she doesn't. And so, what a blessing. So look at verse number 11. Let's jump down before I there. Let him eschew evil and do good. I like that little word, eschew. It's similar to the definitions of the Hebrew word in the book of Job, where Job was a righteous man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. You know, you don't have to swallow everything that comes your way.
That's good.
I mean, taste and see that the Lord is good, and if He's good, go just take Him. I mean, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my soul, and it was sweeter than honey to my lips." I'm telling you, you take the word of God and swallow it, digest it, ingest it.
Amen.
But Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. When it came around, he could hear it. He could see it. If it was bad, the other commercial I watched. Guy goes to the refrigerator, finds an old carton of milk back in the back. Brings that carton of milk out, smells it. Oh! Drank it. Now if it smells bad, don't drink it! If it already looks bad, smells bad, tastes bad, it's like liver, don't eat it! Oh my goodness. As an evangelist missionary, oh, I tell you, some things. I know it's never in Spain. They have great cooks there and never strained. Oh, yeah. But in India, they bring me chechnya, or they bring a little piece of bread and some sauces, and everything's bread dipped in sauces, and they don't have anything, and they'll be offended if you don't sit down in their home and partake of what little they have. It's all they got. Well, when that woman came to me, she says, kind sir, eat groundnuts. I said, you want me to eat what? I have groundnuts for you. Groundnuts? Groundnuts? I mean, I'd had all kinds of stuff. I mean, and she brought them out in a hot iron skillet, kind of like that big thing you had in that van, the big. I said, what is it? Groundnuts. Give me some more. It was peanuts. Fried peanut groundnuts. I had no idea what in the world. What was I getting? I mean, thank God for groundnuts. I mean, but I go in another place and I sit down and they feed me this green slime and some little pieces of bread and three different colors, red, green, and a mixture type. And I dipped it in the one. It's okay. Thank you very much. It was good. Oh, you better come down to wood. And so the pastor said, she wants you to eat her specialty, all the neighbor. And Joseph, a Theolil, was standing over there and he was having a conversation. So I dipped my bread and I put it to my lip. And Joseph said, oh, Dr. Thurman, don't eat that. I've already burnt my lip. Yeah. I mean, it blistered on the inside. And I chewed it because she was, you're going to love it. And I couldn't spit it out at her. I swallowed it, burned going in, and it burnt. Yeah, never mind. I don't have any dignity when I get some old, I'll tell you. Whew. He said, oh, doctor, don't eat that. That will smoke you. I said, it didn't smoke me. It smoked me. I'm telling you, I had tears. I looked like a humble, spiritual, crying man for 3 days. I'm telling you. It was horrible. But they got some hot stuff, I'm telling you. And eschew evil and do good. You don't have to worry about what everybody else is doing. If you want to have a good life, see good days, don't talk about the bad. Refrain your tongue from evil. Your lips, that they don't speak guile or bitterness. Don't put an edge on everything you have to say. You don't have to ruin everybody else's day just because you're having a bad day. It's called being courteous. I mean, going to the store and the guy pulls out in front of you. Jerk! Oh, you don't cuss, but you horn cuss. Now, the good thing about horns in foreign countries is it's a way of life for them. They mean no evil. I mean, I see traffic in Philippines or in India where they have a red light, but nobody pays any attention. You've got 6 lanes going north, 6 lanes coming south, 4 lanes coming east, 4 lanes coming west, and they honk their way through those intersections a million at a time. Americans honk their horn when they're mad. They honk their horn to warn you that they're already there. they honk their way and they just beep, 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 beep. I said, what are they honking for? Let you know they're getting in front of you. Let them eschew evil. Spit it out. Just because something tastes, if it tastes wrong, if it smells wrong, tastes, sounds wrong, don't have to ingest it. You don't have to swallow it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us. You don't have to watch the whole thing. If something, the flag goes up, turn it off. If somebody's preaching false doctrine or heresy, walk away. Turn it off. Put your earphones on. Never mind. Now, if I see somebody with your earphones on. Okay, just go ahead and do good. Do good. You don't have to ruin everybody else's day. Well, this is much ado, but it's a much ado about something. Look at, again, verse 11. It said, let him seek peace and ensue it. Pursue, ensue, or sue for. I mean, peace is something that's very important. Sometimes we have to bite our lip, bite our tongue, bide our time. There's some things not worth fighting over. Let's pick our fights very carefully. And we're known as fighting fundamentalists. Well, at the beginning it was good because we were fighting liberalism and modernism and heresy and false religion and false doctrine. Now we've got a testimony and a reputation of just fighting for the fundamentals, for the nuances of the fundamentals. Pick your battles. Man, if somebody believes Jesus Christ is the Son of God, deity, believes in the Bible's the Word of God, tolerate them. I didn't say let them preach. But don't treat them like a brother if they believe in the born-again experience, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. But what we're dividing over, we're fighting each other over, are what, if you don't know the time of day that you got saved. It took me 4 years to figure out I got saved on Thanksgiving night, 1973. Because I didn't know I was supposed to know. Until the preacher got up and said, if you don't know where you got saved, you're probably going to hell. That's how he said it. I said, well, I know I'm saved. So I had to search. I had to talk to my wife about it. Where was I? When was that? What was that? Oh yeah, it was in the back bedroom of my father-in-law's house at 7201 Chapel Street, Pensacola, Florida, at the foot of the bed with my Bible open on my knees. I got born again on Thanksgiving night, 1973. And now I tell everybody, if you don't know, just know you were there when it happened. Just know. Know ye not how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobate. You can know He's in you. You can know the voice and the... Oh, boy. I told somebody this morning, I talked to so many, I have a harder time teaching a Sunday school lesson than I do preaching. So I just go ahead and preach. Just go ahead and do the right thing. Just do good. Somebody's got a problem with you. Jesus said, do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Just go ahead and do the right thing, the right way, when you're supposed to do it, the way you're supposed to do it. You know, you and I are one thing that different between God and man. You can please God. It's easier to please God than it is men. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace. That must be implied that you can please God. Fire drill? It can't possibly be. Yeah, I know. And she's had enough. Oh, they're all leaving me. Okay, I know. 5 more minutes. Okay, hey, I got to 2 points, all this choir business. Don't make me bitter. Leave with a smile. Oh, it said, let him seek peace and ensue it. Peace with God, the peace of God. Peace in God. Peace with the brethren. Peace that passes understanding. God said He'd give that to each one of us. Then it ought to come out on us. Especially in the holiday season. I know there's so many frustrating things that happen on the holidays. But I want you to love life. I want you to see good days. Keep your eyes on the good stuff. He said, let him speak. In chapter 4, verse 11. Let him speak as of the oracles of God. You know, we don't have to have an opinion on everything. Let me just say this. Jesus doesn't have an opinion. God doesn't have an opinion. The Bible doesn't have an opinion. Now, you and I have opinions. But we don't have to share our opinion about things with everybody. I remember, I probably told this before, but I went to a family reunion. I get to preach every year at the Thurman reunion. We have a couple hundred people there, and I get to preach a little bit and give blessing on the food. And And so we were eating all around, and after we get our food, they all sit. I had a bunch of cousins and aunts sitting at this table, and some other preachers. And I got four preachers in our family, Methodist bishops and other things like that. And so they're sitting back here, you know, laughing and fellowshipping. And I'm up there getting my second round of food, and I eat it, and I walk by, and I hear these women are going at it. They are. They're going at it. And so I just go on by. I go back to get some more banana pudding, just like I had last night. Wonderful. And I went back, and I got some more, and they said, "Mike, you're a preacher?" I said, "Yeah, you're arguing about something, aren't you?" And they said, "Yeah, we want your opinion on this, since you're a Baptist preacher." About spanking. Should you spank your children? I said, "Sorry, I don't have an opinion on it." I made the mistake of going back for a second helping a banana pudding. They're still going at it, and they say, "Mike, you're a preacher. Surely you've got an opinion on this." I said, "No, I don't have one. These are my sister and aunts and cousins." And she looked, and the one that really jumped me, she said, "Well, you're a Baptist preacher, and you don't have an opinion on this? I would never have thought that." I said, "No, ma'am, I don't have any, but if you really want to know what the Bible says, I'll be happy to tell you." Amen. I went to Proverbs 22, went to Proverbs 16. I gave them verse after verse after verse after verse. And they said, I think they had enough of my Bible. But when we walked away, they didn't have a problem with me. But they had a problem with God. They're not arguing with me. See, no person in this church will ever answer to Pastor Pease or to Evangelist Mike Thurman. You won't ever have to worry about waking up tomorrow morning with a horse's head in your bed. This is not the mafia. We're struggling with our own life, but we're called to preach the Word of God and teach it as it is. And so they argued, but they weren't mad at me. Don't have an opinion. But when you put in the corner, speak as the oracle of God. Speak like this book speaks. Let them know this is the final authority. This, give them the Bible. Even if you're going against the devil, he can out-Bible you, but just give him the Bible you know. Just quote it to him. And that'll save a lot. I know. Let him minister as God giveth ability. You know what? Some people have continued bad days. They think they're required to do something God didn't give them the ability to do. Just do what God gives you the ability to do. You don't have to be Superman. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to walk around with... I'm spiritual. No. So when you sit out there and you let, and the preacher preaches to you, don't pick your nose. But you don't have to look. You know, because some of you look like you've lost your best friend. So I'm going a little extreme today. And pastor probably won't have me back because he likes dignity in the office, and so do I. And I'm a little borderline today. But at least look like you're enjoying the preaching. Boy, preaching, this is great. And that's like everybody told me last night. We love your sermons, Brother Thurman. We just like them one at a time. Father, we love you. Ask your blessings upon our class time. Thank you for the faithful church. Thank you for the faithful pastor. And God, thank you for the Word of God. Help us keep our right spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.